It's time for the Ron and Brian podcast. Get ready to fill your ears with the latest news, politics, current events, and whatever else we feel like talking about this week. And now, your hosts, Ron and Brian.
All right. Good evening, everybody. It is Sunday night. It is 8 o'clock. It is time for episode 177 of the Ron and Brian podcast. Brian, you are here with me as always. How the hell are you this evening, my friend?
I think I'm doing great. It is Sunday. I feel energized. I feel refreshed. The weekend has been good to me. I think some magic is going to take place over the next 2 hours.
All right. Well, then let's just get right to it, shall we? Let's start it off with Drink of the Week.
Drink of the Week.
Na zdrowie.
Salud.
Drink of the Week.
Sláinte.
Prost. Drink of the Week. Drink of the Week.
All right, Brian, what libation have you brought? Oh, is that our good friends over at Coney Island Brewing?
Coney Island Brewing. I was there last night. I partook in several of their fine wares and decided to show some further support. I picked myself up a six-pack of their Dreamland Session Sour. You know me. I love a good sour. Look at this lovely color. Also, look at this lovely glass.
You bought that at the brewery as well?
When you say bought, what is your definition of bought?
So it's a brewery glass that you have acquired, maybe is the better way to say it.
It's got the logo right here. Look at that. Look at that lovely logo. It's got the mermaid on the back.
Well, taste it. Let me know how it is. I'm anxious to hear how the session sour is.
I think I was expecting it to be more sour.
Okay.
It is very good. So I give this a solid 3 out of 5.
3 out of 5? Yeah. All right. Not bad. Not bad at all, my friend.
Oh, you know what? It's getting better the second drink. It's a good thing I have a six-pack in my beer fridge right over there.
Nice.
Ron?
Yes.
What have you brought to the table this week?
So this week I went and I cracked open a crowler from our good friends down at Cheshire Brewing, just down the road from me. They have a German style Pilsner that the bartender recommended to me. This is Gooder Woda. Gooder Woda. You wash your boogie down with this. So
Woda, Jerry, I'm a fan of
Pilsner. So let me see here.
I don't understand. How can somebody not like a Pilsner?
Very good. I would say Broken Goblet's still my favorite Pilsner, but I would say this is a solid right behind them.
Mm-hmm. See how clear that is?
It's crisp.
It's not muddied.
It's clean. It's
crisp. Sharp.
Clocking in at a 5.1%, so it's a nice, easy drinking beer. One that we can just... I'll have the whole crowler. I'll probably have the second glass. During After Dark, which, as we always like to mention, if you are a member of our Patreon, you get to join us for the After Dark, which takes place at 9:30 tonight, if you're at the bronze level or higher. So we've got the website up. Go to ronandbrianpodcast.com, and up in the upper right-hand side, you will see the link to become a Patreon listener and or viewer, depending on what your pledge amount is.
Ron, would you like to tell the people what we are going to be doing during our After Dark episode tonight?
So we apparently are taking a kink quiz during the After Dark, and I will be comparing my answers with Brian to see which of us is it kinkier, or just what different kinks we have? Is there a rating or...
What they do is they've got about 20 different categories of kinks, or 20 different types of kinks. And then based on your answers, you are rated on a scale of 1 to 100 on each kink.
Got it. All right. Well, that's coming after dark. So Patreon folks, get ready for that. You non-Patreon folks, still plenty of time to go over to RonandBrianPodcast.com and sign up and join us tonight. In the meantime, it's time for This Week in Racism.
This
week
in
racism.
So it was a slightly less racist week this week. Brian should be able to keep this in significantly under those 10 minutes that you have allotted me for this segment. So let's get right into it, starting off with city officials meeting this week to discuss a lawsuit filed by Boynton Beach's first Black female firefighter after she was depicted as a white person on a public mural. Latasha Clemens, who went on to become Boynton's first Black deputy fire chief before retiring in 2020, is seeking more than $100,000 in damages, according to the lawsuit filed in April. In Minnesota, a group of Black parents are suing the city's school system, claiming that their children experienced unfair treatment, racial insensitivity, and bullying from classmates and faculty. The lawsuit claims that the plaintiff's children suffered discrimination at the school's Raleigh and North Star Academy campuses in April 2019 and that the staff failed to take the necessary action. The lawsuit claims that white students at North Star Academy physically attacked a Black kindergartner, causing a visible bruise during a bus ride to school one morning. And in 2017, one white student threatened to stab her in the eye because of the way she looked. According to the suit, white students would call their Black classmates monkey, Negro, and say that they, quote, look like what's inside a toilet. It is also said that white students would bite, kick, punch, and spit on Black students, along with repeatedly calling them the N-word. Louisiana State Trooper Carl Cavalier, who has publicly criticized his department for the violent arrests and death of Ronald Green, is at risk of losing his job. He says that his potential termination is an act of retaliation by the state police. Cavalier told NBC that he's been on paid leave since August and received a letter earlier this month from State Police Superintendent Lamar Davis that informed him of potential termination within 45 days. The letter cited his public statements, dissemination of information, and conduct becoming of an officer as reasons for his firing. We're not done with Louisiana yet, as a sheriff's deputy in Jefferson Parish, Louisiana, was caught on video as he held a Black woman by her hair and slammed her to the ground multiple times. This all happened moments after the woman, Chantel Arnold, was assaulted by a group of local boys. Arnold told local media that her altercation with the deputy left her with several bruises and scratches, a busted lip, and reoccurring headaches. She was not charged with the crime afterward. The unidentified officer is under investigation by the Jefferson Parish Sheriff's Office. A Nashville comedian said he was accused of breaking into cars at a downtown apartment complex because he is Black. Joshua Black lives at the complex and said he was called out by a woman who also lives there and recorded the confrontation on his phone. The woman claimed her car was broken into, then insisted that Black fit the description of the individual who was breaking into other cars at the complex because he was wearing a hoodie and a backpack. However, the apartment complex said the description of the person accused of the break-ins was a white kid on a bike with a red backpack. A handful of Black Georgia high school students were suspended from school on Friday after trying to plan a protest against racism. The protest plans began after a group of students flew a Confederate flag and used racial slurs last week at Coosa High School. Black, white, and Latino students spoke out against the racist actions of their fellow classmates. Student organizers say they were suspended for making protest plans, but only Black students were suspended for protesting. All white students involved in the protest were not punished. The majority of students suspended for any reason in Floyd County School District last year were Black students, according to local data. Indianapolis Metropolitan Police Sergeant Eric Huxley is facing two felony charges after kicking a Black man, Jermaine Vaughn, in the head during his arrest. In addition to the charges of official misconduct and battery with moderate bodily injury, Huxley is also facing an FBI investigation. Vaughn was charged with resisting law enforcement and disorderly conduct following his arrest, but those charges have since been dismissed. And two women have filed a lawsuit against a beach town police chief in South Carolina after he allegedly sent them nearly 20 unsolicited and inappropriate images that were racist and sexist in nature. Emily Lee Ward and Latane Gooding claim that Sullivan's Island police chief Chris Griffin approached their table during a police conference on leadership. Gooding supposedly took Griffin's number and added him to a group text message with Ward. After that, Griffin allegedly sent the two women around 20 unanswered and unprompted messages that were, quote, sexually explicit, racist, demeaning, and inappropriate. And we also have one story in Racism Rewind.
Racism Rewind.
Following up last week's story on Las Vegas Raiders coach John Gruden, he stepped down Monday as the coach of the football team hours after the New York Times detailed emails in which he had made homophobic and misogynistic remarks. Mark Davis, the owner of the Raiders, said in a statement that he had accepted the resignation. Rich Bisaccia, the Raiders special teams coordinator, was elevated to interim head coach. And that, my friends, is This Week in Racism. I don't know if that's an appropriate sound to play after This Week in Racism.
I thought that not our worst week, but certainly it doesn't feel like we're making the kind of progress that I would like to make as a country.
I feel you are correct. I don't think we are making these steps forward that we would like.
Feels like we're actually taking, yeah, it's just, you know, when we started this bit 3 years ago, I really thought that it was, it would die out very quickly. That there just wasn't be the amount of racism that we thought there would be. And there is actually a lot of racism that continues to happen.
But this week was only 5 minutes and 22 seconds worth of racism. So I believe that's one of our shorter racism segments in quite a while. So
if there was a way to track the racism, that is it. 522, a record.
Yes, without a doubt. All right, Brian, let's talk beef of the week.
Ron and Brian's beef of the week.
Brian, what's bothering you this week?
My awful gambling luck.
Oh, all right, talk to me.
I had been on such a roll. I bet every day with a dear friend of mine who will go by the name of Michael. And I owed him a substantial amount of money. And I worked it down over the course of a few months so that at one point a week ago from Saturday, I was actually in the lead. He owed me money.
So you're $20 up. You really reversed your fortune.
I was up. This morning when I woke up, I owed him $561.
Oof. So not $900, but $561.
At the rate I'm going, I will hit $900 that I owe him in probably about Wednesday into Thursday. Okay. I have had the worst luck this week gambling. I pick a team, they lose. He picks a team, they win. It was a bloodbath yesterday. Baseball, UFC, college football. I lost money across the board. It is unsustainable. I'm not happy about it. That is actually my beef of the week.
That's valid. No one likes losing money.
That is a lot of money. Ron, what's bothering you?
So my beef, and it pains me to have this beef this week. My beef this week is with Eastern State Penitentiary here in Philadelphia, a former prison that was shut down about 40 years ago, now exists as a museum. They do a great Halloween haunted attraction each and every year. I believe last year was the first time in many years that I hadn't gone because of the pandemic. They didn't have one. They started up again. We went last night, and it was a tad bit disappointing. They mixed it up a bit. They switched around some of the attractions. They tried to bring some new stuff in. But a lot of what they brought in was just additional ways for you to spend money there. Like normally you would go, you'd buy your ticket, you'd go through the whole thing. It would take about 45 minutes. You'd get to the end, and then you could buy like a picture, you could buy a hat, merch, whatever. But like we get to, like we go in, we get to the second attraction, and there is a bar there. So you can buy a beer if you want to have a beer before you go into the next attraction. So it's like, all right, not too bad. Grab a beer, walk through. And then, but then it's like we go, and then there's like a lounge, and then there's like a beer garden, and then there's like a s'mores bar for like $4. You can buy a s'mores pack.
Wait a second. You're complaining about a beer garden.
But the point being is I've already spent like $50 on my ticket. And there's just hardly, I mean, again, I don't mind there being additional things there, but they kind of took away from, you know, the actual haunted attractions that you got to walk through. So it was, I get this is a fundraiser for them. I get this is how they fund, you know, maintaining the building and staffing and everything. But I don't know, it was just a little, it was a little disappointing. So that is my beef for the week.
What were the kind of things that they had previously that you enjoyed that they no longer have? I avoid all haunted houses and things like that.
Okay.
Not my thing.
Gotcha. So there would normally be like 8 or 9 different sections that you would go through. And I would say there was probably 5 or 6 at most.
Okay. Now what's going on in each section? Are these like, depends. Do they have people jumping out at you?
Yeah, it's a lot, you know, they always have a lot of actors. They do different themes. You know, you're going through cell blocks and people are jumping out at you. There's like medical themed ones. There's alien themed ones. So, you know, a lot of different, you know, scary stuff to walk through. And the actors are always fantastic. And you can always, you know, if you wear a neon necklace that they give you, they'll actually like interact with you. They'll like grab you. They'll take you away from your group. Like it's a very, you know, it's a very well done, but I just think it was a little bit of a, you know, so you really don't like haunted houses, huh?
No. I do not like them. I did it once and I did not enjoy the experience whatsoever. I did not like people jumping out at me. I did not like people surprising me. I did not like the shock of anything going on. It was not fun to me whatsoever.
Understood. Well, then I guess we will not invite you next year then.
No, I'm glad you did not invite me. It was at one point I was just like, oh, you guys are doing something. But I also feel like I'm going to see you enough this month.
That's true. You are going to see us a lot, especially since this upcoming Friday is the Dave Hill Show here in lovely Elkins Park, Pennsylvania. He is going to be performing. Initially, was going to be in my living room. Now, due to the Delta variant, we have moved that outside. So he will be in our backyard. I think we're upwards of around, I don't know, 28, 29 attendees right now. So it'll be a nice, intimate show. We'll have some food there. We'll have some drink. I think I'm going to break down and order those fried chicken and waffle bites from Chef Vargas to have on the buffet. So it's going to be a good time, without a doubt.
Now, keep in mind, tickets, there are still some tickets left. Obviously, this event is already larger than we were planning on. We did check capacity this past week. We figured out a way. And honestly, I give you a lot of credit, Ron. You and your wife sitting there, figuring out the room, figuring out the seating. You were able to figure out that there were additional seating that could take place. Accommodations were made. Personally, I'm just grateful. So we still have some tickets that are available. This is a fully vaccinated event. You are going to be required to show proof of vaccination along with photo ID. So simply showing a copy of a vaccination card, we don't know that it is you, you need to also show ID. That name on the ID has to match your vaccination card along with the photo on your ID has to match you.
And we did get a sound system too. So even though it is a large crowd, everyone will be able to hear the comedy and the music. I believe he's bringing his guitar too. So it's going to be a fun night in the backyard here at Elkins Park.
Have we talked about, and I don't think you and I have, but I'm just wondering if you and the talent have, you know, as part of their rider, At any point, like what is what will we be doing for crowd control? Say people become unruly.
Sure.
People keep talking and whatnot. What accommodations do we have in play to make sure that that I don't know what the fuck he's doing. What do we have in play to make sure that, you know, if people start distracting,
right,
or talking during the show or whatnot, how do we have set up so that these things, so basically what I'm asking, Ron, is under what circumstances are we allowed to throw people out?
Right. Well, and again, I think it's obvious. You can get random people walking in, and that can really throw off the talent. And we're going to try to avoid that. We will have a security person there that evening. He will pretty much have carte blanche to handle people as he sees fit. This individual is someone who I trust, who's someone opinion I value, and so, you know, whatever he says goes. So when you see the person in the security hat and shirt, just be sure to respect that individual with what he's telling you.
Yeah, I think it's one of those things where, you know, listen, you know me, I'm a free spirit, but I believe there are certain times and where you must respect authority.
Yes.
And this event, again, we are going to be respecting authority.
If you have not gotten your ticket, we just have a handful left. You can go to our Instagram account. There is a link there. Or if you know us, you can DM us through our social media and secure it that way and avoid the Eventbrite fees. But regardless, we look forward to seeing all of you this upcoming Friday night. Doors at 7, showtime at 8. And if you are currently holding a ticket, there will be a pre-show email that's going out that later this week with the exact address and other pertinent information. Just some friendly reminders also.
And don't give out the address. This is not for the public.
Correct.
This is this is a ticketed event. If you do not have a ticket, and will people be able to show the ticket on their phone?
Yes.
Or are we requiring people to print tickets?
You don't necessarily save the environment. You don't need to print your ticket. If you got it through Eventbrite, just have it on your phone, have your confirmation email, or again, your photo ID. We can just match it with your name.
Okay. All right. I like this.
Yes. I'm excited. It's going to be a good time.
Yeah, I think this has potential to be the social event of the year.
So, Brian, speaking of vaccines and social events, the FDA panel, very controversial this week, came out endorsing a Moderna COVID-19 vaccine booster shot for seniors and for high-risk groups. They said that those individuals should get a half dose booster to bolster protection against the virus, which is unusual given the strength of the Moderna vaccine that we personally have experienced over the past year. Brian, what are your thoughts on this most recent announcement?
I was doing a lot of research as somebody who is so invested in terms of Moderna, who has who put out his left shoulder many months ago when Moderna was being issued. The research that I found was the fact that it was a decision, or a lot of people are saying this on Twitter. Doctors, surgeons, nurse practitioners, veterinarians,
sure,
are all saying that the reason why suddenly they are now offering the idea of a half dose version of the Moderna vaccine as a booster is because the population in America, ergo also the world, we lead the world, were very hesitant to go out and get boosters of the Pfizer vaccine.
The silver standard.
Oh, he's not even paying attention. I said the Pfizer vaccine.
Sorry.
The silver standard.
Yeah.
That people, you know, based on the fact that the efficacy of the Pfizer vaccine does start to wear off after 6 months. Anthony Fauci, Tony, as his friends like to call him, he was telling me earlier that the Johnson & Johnson should have always been a double shot And absolutely, people who received the Johnson & Johnson vaccine should run out and go get another shot. The people were being very hesitant to go get a booster. And there was a lot of talk of, if I'm going to go get another shot, a booster shot, then I absolutely am going to require that be Moderna. Well, unfortunately, Moderna is being saved for the people who have already received Moderna. It is, and to keep the people, you know, understanding that the Moderna vaccine is, you know, is just as good as the others, which we know is not true.
The gold standard.
It was decided that the best way to do this was to acknowledge that people can go out and get a Moderna booster shot, which is really, you know, a half dosage. It's basically like, what's the point? You have got the gold standard flowing through your body. The antibodies are just literally surrounding every cell in your body. The only way to make sure that people went out and got their Pfizer and Johnson & Johnson boosters was to sit there and say, well, okay, Moderna will also allow some booster shots for that too. So this way other people did not feel left out.
And if you have the Johnson & Johnson vaccine, even more important for you to go out and get a booster. A study published Thursday showed a deep decline in effectiveness. They looked at more than 600,000 veterans. And Johnson & Johnson's vaccine protection, it fell from 88% in March all the way down to 3% in August. So people with the J&J vaccine, basically walking around unvaccinated at this point, if it's more than 6 months since your shot. So, I mean, if that helps people get the booster shot, if it helps, you know, some of the 66 million Americans still unvaccinated move forward to get a shot, you know, let's hope that it's worthwhile then.
And we are not requiring people who are 6 months fully vaccinated to get their boosters to attend Friday's event.
No, we are not.
One shot of a vaccine, correct? Is that correct? That's what we agreed to.
Exactly.
One shot of either Moderna,
the gold standard,
Pfizer, or Johnson & Johnson, and you will be allowed into this event. If you are unvaccinated or you cannot show proof of vaccination, you will not be allowed.
Now, in addition to vaccines, Merck and one of their partners, Ridgeback Biotherapeutics, they have submitted an application to the FDA for a drug called Molnupiravir, which basically is a way of treating COVID-19. So this is one of the more effective pills that has been designed so that when people do contract COVID-19 and one of the variants, the chance of surviving increased. They said that in trials, it reduced both hospitalizations and deaths by almost half in clinical trials. So
really
another step forward. Obviously vaccination is still the key, but this is a new pill. It's a small molecule antiviral that can be taken orally, and it is something obviously that can be scaled up a lot quicker, both for production and for administration. So vaccine, obviously, still a good first line of defense, but this pill, should it get approval, would be good for especially those who are not vaccinated. The federal government has already invested $1.2 billion in purchasing 1.7 million doses of the new drug.
Are we allowing AstraZeneca vaccines at the at this event?
I would allow AstraZeneca. I don't think the Sputnik 2 would be allowable.
What about the Sino vaccine?
Oof.
I forgot the name of it.
We have to have standards, Brian.
Okay.
We have to have standards.
So we are allowing AstraZeneca, especially if people get some blood clots. We are allowing Johnson & Johnson. We are allowing Pfizer. And we are recommending Moderna.
Correct. Exactly.
The gold standard.
You got to be on the game, Ron. You got to be on the game.
Sorry, my apologies.
If I'm going to say Moderna, I'm expecting
the gold standard.
The gold standard.
Thank you.
My apologies. So Georgia Republican U.S. Senate hopeful Herschel Walker called off a Texas fundraiser Wednesday after an event organizer displayed a group of syringes arranged to form a swastika in her Twitter profile picture to protest vaccine mandates. We have a photo of that Twitter profile in question. So it's at Bettina VTX. I don't know who that person is. Yeah, so clearly very heavily on the right. But yeah, decided it would be a great idea to use a swastika image made out of syringes.
And putting it right next to a photo of Donald Trump that says vote red.
So initially...
Weren't the Nazi colors red?
I believe red, so, yes. Red and black.
Red, white, and black. So yeah. So you've got initially, red, white. Yeah.
Mm. Initially, the Walker campaign described it as just an anti-mandatory vaccination graphic. Yeah, clearly a swastika. And Herschel Walker, in turn, defended a swastika.
He's a fucking moron. he was a very good college football player. And he's also a... I saw him play for the U.S. Generals in the USFL when it first came out.
Listen, and it's smart of him to go to Texas for a fundraiser because the people of Texas love Herschel Walker. Because let's face it, Herschel Walker's trade to the Minnesota Vikings gave the Cowboys all the draft picks they needed to win all those Super Bowls in the 90s.
Yes. So they won Super Bowls?
In 92, 93, 95.
I did not realize that. I thought they had a good team, but I did not realize that they were Super Bowl people.
Troy Aikman, Emmitt Smith, Michael Irvin, the triplets, as they were called back then. But regardless, he is,
it's so stupid. Yeah. Obviously you have to be some level of a Nazi sympathizer to decide that you're going to create a logo using the swastika.
So he is looking to challenge Democrat Raphael Warnock in next year's general election. And he's raised $3.7 million so far, which I don't know if that's even a good amount for running a Senate campaign. In these days, if you were in like Iowa or Wyoming, that might be a good amount. But I think Georgia, I think you're in the hundreds of millions of dollars. In any traction,
you've got to be
these days.
You have to be.
That's just my opinion, though. Just my opinion, Brian.
Yeah.
Serious question for you here, and I hope you take it seriously. What are you watching?
Oh, okay. This week, hold on.
Is that a Michael Myers t-shirt?
The new Michael Myers movie came out this week. I saw it in the theaters in New York City. It was a lovely experience. Vaccinated people taking off their masks, breathing the fresh air of an indoor movie theater. I saw the new Halloween Kills. Now, this is part two in a trilogy that started in 2018. Danny McBride is the executive producer, also helped co-wrote the screenplay. I found it quite enjoyable. Not a great movie. It's got some problems. It's been described as problematic. A lot of people are saying it's problematic. Looking past a lot of the issues that it did have, because no horror movie nowadays is perfect. They don't make perfect movies anymore. And I will just say that I just enjoyed watching it. It very much was, in my opinion, it was written, It was written in a way that the people who are Halloween fans, the people who enjoyed Halloween 1 and 2 when they originally came out, it really was a tip of the cap to those. A lot of the actors who were in some of the original first two movies they brought back and were actually in this movie. I just enjoyed it. I walked in with very low expectations and it exceeded it for 2 hours. I had a lot of fun watching that movie.
All right. Very good. Very good. I also watched Halloween Kills, watched it today via the Peacock streaming service. And I was not, I did not enjoy it.
Really?
Like I and again, I think I'm a big fan of the original Halloween.
Sure.
Point. I think it was problematic. I think it was very disjointed. I think they brought in characters that were bit characters in the original Halloween and started putting together all these new backstories. Just a ton of characters, a ton of backstories. And again, I think, you know, I didn't realize it was supposed to be a trilogy. I was hoping they were going to wrap it up. And, and there was just, you know, there was the monologue from Jamie Lee Curtis at the end, which I think made no sense.
Correct.
Correct. And the end of the movie made no sense whatsoever. So
how did it make no sense?
I mean, I don't want to spoil it for people, but it was just like,
spoiler alert.
It was like, I don't know. Yeah. It felt like the way it ended didn't relate to the story that had been told up to that point.
In the sense that he's alive at the end?
Just in the sense that, I don't know, none of it made sense. Like, you keep a character alive till the very end of the movie just to, like, kill her off for shock value to lead into the third movie. Yes. So, yeah, it was, yeah, I mean, and I don't know. I agree with you. I think there were some good parts, but I think if you look at it just as a horror movie, I think it was effective in that way. I think there was some scary parts. There were some gory parts. But there was also some very stupid parts. Like, the one that I will point out that I think insulted my intelligence the most is when the one woman who was dressed up in the nurse's outfit for Halloween was attempting to shoot him, and he gets out of the car and he kicks the gun just as she's firing it, but he kicks it so that it turns around towards her and she still fires it and kills herself.
Yes.
That I literally said out loud, oh, come on.
Yeah. Okay. Great. See, I just look past that. It's just like, that's just a stupid thing. I felt one of my biggest, my big two issues with it was, Anthony Michael Hall playing the role of Tommy Doyle, felt was a distraction, and I did not think that it added to the movie in any way.
Right.
Whenever he was on the screen, I looked at him and I said, that's Anthony Michael Hall. I did not say that's Tommy Doyle.
Right.
Whereas when Jamie Lee Curtis would come on, I would say that's Laurie. When, you know, the sheriff would come on, I'd be like, that's the sheriff. That's so-and-so, that's so-and-so, that's the married couple, that's Little John and Big John.
Right. And like, and the side kind of, the little story about the mental patient, who I don't even remember from the first movie, but it just...
No, really... he was just a guy. He was just one of the guys that escaped with Michael in part one.
But it went on a tangent, and it got preachy, but it was like, I don't know... Again, like you said, it was problematic. It was disjointed.
Sure.
It was, again, if you go in just looking for a good horror movie, I think you'll be fine. If you go in looking at it from just the Halloween perspective, I don't know that it was one of the stronger Halloweens.
How would you rank the Halloweens? Well, if we're there.
I mean, I would say this one, I mean, you know, one and two are still the best.
They are the Moderna of the Michael Myers franchise.
You know, I think the Rob Zombie reboots are up there. But I think, really? You know, as far as the originals, I think not up to that level, but let's put it this way. I would watch the Rob Zombie remake of Halloween before I would watch Halloween 3 again.
Really? See, I found the Rob Zombie ones. I had a bigger issue with those because he felt the need to create this backstory of Michael Myers where they spent a good 20 minutes showing him with this like stereotypical white trash background, and he was being bullied by his stepfather. And whereas I think the thing that made Michael Myers such a fascinating character was the fact that he was just a suburban kid who had a good upbringing and then one day just snapped.
Right.
That's what I loved about Michael Myers, was the fact like there wasn't anything supernatural. It was just a guy who just snapped one day and then went non-communicative. Is that the phrase?
Sure. We can go.
Sure. That's what I found fascinating about Michael Myers. I felt the Rob Zombie ones were like, no. We have to describe. Then there was a white horse that was running around, and they had to put up a text on the screen of the symbolism of a white horse in a dream, so that three scenes later they can show a white horse and you understand what's going on. Also, I felt like Rob Zombie movies were unnecessarily gory. Right. One of the things that I loved about Michael Myers was, or at least the original two Halloweens, and then it started to get silly and whatnot,
right?
But was it, people died, but it wasn't necessarily an over the top death. Michael Myers would stab someone or choke them, or strangle them and whatnot. But he wasn't sitting like in the Rob Zombie movies. He's literally like crushing people's head, and you're seeing brains come out.
That was a lot of what you saw in Halloween Kills too. Like, there was a lot of over the top gore in Halloween Kills.
And I personally find those types completely unnecessary. They're like, you can kill the person without a need to sit there and make it fun.
Yeah, I don't think, like Halloween H2O, that was the one with was that the one that LL Cool J was in?
Yes. I thought that was a decent one.
That one was a decent one. And listen, the Halloween that came out 3 years ago that preceded Halloween Kills, I thought that was probably up there with the first.
It was, absolutely.
And I so hopefully, again, like you said, there's going to be a third part. There's going to be a final part of the trilogy. Hopefully it goes back more. Hopefully it leans more towards the first movie than the second movie.
Should be a year from now. I believe it's already been filmed and it's ready to go.
What else are you watching, Brian?
Oh, I watched the new Dave Chappelle special on Netflix that has been getting a lot of traction, a lot of talk amongst the glitterati.
The cancel culture folks out there?
Sure. Yeah, no, it's pissed off a lot of people. There's a lot of people out there that are demanding that Netflix take it off their roster of streamable options. There's a lot of people that are offended by the things that he said. So I decided I needed to watch it this past week.
And what did you think?
I was very disappointed by it. It's not funny. Yeah. I don't think he meant it to be funny. I wouldn't describe it as a comedy special. It really comes across as if he sat there and said, I'm going to spend an hour defending why I should be allowed to say the things that I said in previous specials. I don't believe he said anything new here other than just defending himself. And it felt like he's just beating the topic into the ground, which is something I would never do.
Of course not.
But he was just it was as if he had nothing better to say than to talk about why he feels that the LGBTQ plus community should not be coming after him, why the transgendered people specifically he, singles out as the group of people that are quite angry at him. And he spends the most of the special just basically describing why everything that he said is okay. And I'll tell you something. I was not offended at anything he said. He has a lot of valid points, but I just didn't think it was funny at all. Right. I don't think I laughed at all. Like, I don't think he's trying to be funny. Like, this
That was the one, the one thing apart from, some of the more, the bigger issues people had with some of his material. A lot of people were like, there just wasn't really a lot of jokes in this special.
It was not meant to be funny. It was meant to sit there and say, I'm going to spend an hour, and at the end of it, I hope you understand where I'm coming from. Like, it feels like he's now taken on this this role of being just a commenter on society. Like, he's not a funny comedian. Like, he's not doing funny comedy anymore. He's just talking about what's going on in society. And I think that a lot of the things he says are valid. You know, just overall, I think a lot of the things he said about George Floyd and the Black Lives Matter movement that he, you know, the things that he said about those in previous specials, nailed it. Absolutely.
Right.
He's a very intelligent man, and he's got a lot of great viewpoints. I just didn't see why this needed to be done, because I didn't get anything out of it. I didn't feel like he was trying to entertain. It felt like he was more just, this is why I think you people should leave me alone. And to the people that were attacking him for previous ones, he just dug himself even deeper.
All right. Well, I'll check it out. I'll let you know my thoughts.
Ron?
Yes.
What did you watch this week?
Honestly, all I watched, I managed to catch Halloween Kills. I don't have anything. I don't have anything new to bring to the table this week.
Have you watched Squid Game yet?
Yes.
I'm just kidding.
You know what we need to get to? We got a couple things to get to before it gets too late. We of course have everybody's favorite segment that we added on a few weeks back. We've been profiled in People Magazine, The Economist, and on Fox News for this. This is Dead Anti-Vaxxer of the Week.
Dead Anti-Vaxxer of the Week.
Brian, who do you bring to the table for your Dead Anti-Vaxxer of the Week?
I bring you William Topol from Anchorage, Alaska. You have a photo of him.
We have a photo up on the screen.
I would like a moment of silence, which I know is odd considering that this is a lot of people do listen to the podcast in the audio only version, but I would like us to take a moment to think to ourselves about this great patriot, this great American. Let's take a moment. Let's look at the photo. This is who he is, who he was, excuse me. He has passed away. And if we could take a moment and reflect on William Topol, who passed away recently. He was a very staunch anti-vaxxer, fought the hospital staff and the quote-unquote leftist medical staff, accused them of killing him using the same torture protocols enforced, this is a direct quote, enforced by Fauci and the CDC that have killed over 750,000 innocent Americans. As you'll see, he claims that he was denied his right to put life-saving ivermectin,
horse dewormer,
in his body. He was photographed outside of the Capitol on January 6th, I believe. I'm not positive about that. Posted many times about the ineffectiveness of the vaccine. Specifically, unfortunately, William Topol passed away earlier. I believe it was this month from COVID-19. William Topol, a picture can say 1,000 words. Hopefully that photo that you're looking at right there says, please get vaccinated. I was wrong.
I'm not quite sure if this photo is pre or post COVID. Very tough to tell.
I believe that was sent by his embalmer after right before they had the service for him.
It's a daring shirt and tie combo. You have to at least
God
say
damn
that.
It. I just was thinking about that.
Anyway, can I bring my Dead Anti-Vaxxer of the Week to the table?
Feel free.
We have a gentleman by the name of Rob Skiba or Skiba. Matt, do we have a photo of Rob that you can pull up? All right.
I hate the way that Matt, Sometimes Matt does not respond, and sometimes he's right there.
Yeah. Rob, age 52 from Dallas, Texas, initially got himself known as an author and an evangelical flat earther. So, you know, he's all about the science. He really latched on to COVID and the anti-vaccine side of things. Ironically, you know, he made a number of posts about against the vaccine. He shared a lot of Candace Owens' tweets in the past, showed a very sketchy hold on science and reality. But this was his post back on August 20th. Ironically enough, to those who disagree with my position on our current situation, one of us is right. Unless Yahweh miraculously intervenes based on what I'm seeing slash hearing, the one scenario that really does appear to be coming into focus is the likelihood that within, I'd say, 2 to 3 years, one of us will probably be dead. A little bit of foreshadowing there. So he eventually came down with COVID, went into ICU back in early September. Of course, the family felt that the hospital was trying to kill him. But ironically, a few weeks later, friends of his were posting, please stop texting his wife treatments for COVID.
No.
But giving him a lot of prayers. He seemed to stabilize back on October 3rd, but then took a turn for the worst, and he passed away on the 14th due to complications from COVID. But of course, none of his followers feel that getting vaccinated is they feel that there was a greater purpose and that God called him home because he has better work ahead for him.
Yeah. Okay.
And those are our anti-vaxxers, dead anti-vaxxers of the week.
Dead anti-vaxxer of the week.
Brian, I suppose we can. Matt, can you get that photo down? Okay, thank you. Brian, you had a story you wanted to talk about regarding Philadelphia and our SEPTA transportation system.
Okay.
So why don't you just get into it?
Okay. So there's two things going on. There was a story in the news this past week, and I think that it's important that we address it, because I believe that it is pertinent not just to my existence, but also people attending the Ron and Brian podcast presents Dave Hill live from Ron's backyard. Do you have the graphic that you can pull up? Excellent.
I do.
Perfect. You don't have the outdoor one?
I do not. That's Matt, okay. Get on that, would you?
All right, so there was a story earlier this week coming out of Philadelphia. Apparently, a homeless man raped a woman, sexually assaulted a woman this week on a SEPTA commuter train in suburban Philadelphia. Ron, you live in suburban Philadelphia, correct?
I do, yes. Yes, I do.
So he was raped a woman on a train in full view of other passengers, who cops said did not lift a finger to help or even dial 911. Philadelphia, you have shamed yourselves multiple times. You have done it again. This past Wednesday at around 10 p.m., surveillance video shows the sexual assault taking place, the woman screaming, and people in the train car not doing anything to help. The homeless man was later arrested. They arrested Fiston Goy, 35, who was believed to be homeless. The woman is said to be obviously deeply traumatized and recovering. Hopefully she is all right. But most offensive was the people who were on in that train car and did absolutely nothing. Ron, defend Philadelphia.
Unfortunately, I can't defend Philadelphia in the state. I mean, SEPTA is a bit of a shit show at times, especially on the regional rail. No excuse for people not coming to this woman's aid.
Okay. Now I would like to ask if there is any coincidence between this attack on a SEPTA commuter rail and you requesting that I now take the SEPTA train when I am coming to visit you from the downtown Philadelphia Amtrak station up to your, I believe the phrase was suburban Philadelphia neighborhood.
You know, I feel it's just a coincidence. It's poor timing, but just a coincidence.
No, I do not believe in coincidences. I believe you are trying to put me in danger.
Not at all. In fact, you're on one of the safer lines coming up here. This took place at the Upper Darby station, which you would not need to be on that line, my friend. I care about you, and I would never put you knowingly in harm's way.
Okay. Allegedly. Speaking of allegedly, switching subjects, I believe congratulations are in order to you, Ron.
Why is that?
You went 2-0 in our NFL locks of the week, Ron. Week 6 of the NFL season. You have gone unbeaten to this point. A record that is, Vegas is shaking their boots over the fact that you have gone undefeated and once again knocking it out of the park. Last week, you sat there and saw the Dolphins -3 at the Jaguars. You said, that's a joke. Jaguars winning the whole game, not even needing the 3 points. They win by 23-20. Also, the Thursday night game, Bucks -6.5 against the Eagles. You sat there and said, Philly pride all the way. Give me those Eagles. Bucks winning, not covering, 28-22. Ron, 2-0. How did you do it?
Again, just love to the God above. That's how I do it. But even better, congrats to you for your 2-0 week. You looked at the Bengals -3.5 at Detroit. You're like, this could be the Bengals year. They're going to roll, and roll they did, 34-11. And then you also liked Dallas favored on the road at New England, favored by a point. This one you had to sweat out a little bit. Patriots were up by 3 till about 40 seconds left in the game, where the Cowboys tied it and then went on to win it in overtime, 35-29. But you know what? That's a cover for you, my friend, and that's another 2-0 week. So congratulations. Bigger question, though, who do you like this upcoming weekend?
Week number 7, my locks. Here we go. I've got Packers -7 over the Washington football team, or as I like to call them, what the fuck? Then you've got Panthers -3 over the Giants. The New Jersey Giants are terrible this year. 3 points. I absolutely think the Panthers are going to roll over them. Ron, who do you have?
I like Las Vegas Raiders. They are favored by 2.5 points against the visiting Philadelphia Eagles. The Eagles, paid me off this week, but I don't think they cover that 2.5 points. I like Vegas. And then San Francisco 49ers favored by 5 points against the Colts. Take the Niners. The Colts and Carson Wentz specifically are horrible. And those are our NFL locks of the week.
I feel like we need a graphic for that, but I'm not willing to spend any money on it.
You know who else is horrible? Former lead singer of Smash Mouth, Steve Harwell, had a rough weekend performing with Smash Mouth at a music festival up in upstate New York, and apparently, cursed people out, gave people the finger, and then at one point also apparently did a Nazi salute.
Hey now, you're a rock star, I'm a drunkard, I'm gonna retire. Hey now, I don't even know the words to my song.
So apparently, Steve suffering from a number of health issues. Last year, his ex-fiance had slapped him with a restraining order and claimed that he was bipolar. But then he comes out and retires from the band. Initially, just talked about stepping away from the band, but now has just retired completely.
Within a day of the video coming out of his behavior. Now, keep in mind, they're playing a small beer festival.
True.
I forgot where it was, but it was not. It looked like a very short stage. It looked like there were not a lot of people attending this event. I'm not trashing in any way, but he clearly was hammered, or he was high. I'm not sure which one, but he was clearly not present. He was not present in the moment. He had somehow been somewhere else. There's a video of him. If you haven't seen it, look it up. He is, I think at one point he told somebody in the audience that he was going to fucking kill this guy's family.
I believe so, yeah.
His words, not mine. Another time during his show, he literally is leaning up against the post and just holding onto his beer, which he just drops without realizing that he dropped it. It was just sad. I don't know that you need to retire, but you should definitely get some help. Or listen, we've all been there, but don't do it when you're working.
And that was at the Big Sip Festival in Bethel, New York.
Hey, I got a big sip right here for you. Oh,
and a little bit of trivia for you, Brian. With Steve Harwell leaving the band, that leaves bassist Paul Delisle as the only remaining founding member in the group.
Oh, that's the saddest. When you go see a band and you realize that everybody in the band, like you don't even know any of them.
It's just the bass player. So really, does that even count? I guess is the
question. No, it really doesn't. I mean, especially once the lead singer leaves, it's very difficult for a band to keep going once there's a different singer involved.
On the music realm, Rolling Stones have decided to drop the song "Brown Sugar" from concerts because apparently they have lyrics that relate to slavery.
Yes. And apparently the first stanza of the song, I'm going to say the lyrics only because I was not familiar with the lyrics of the song. Gold Coast slave ship bound for cotton fields, sold in the market down in New Orleans. Sky dog slaver know he's doing all right. Hear him whip the women just around midnight. Yeah, it's a little problematic.
And it was their most played song in concert. They played it over 1,100 times in concert, second only to Jumping Jack Flash. But they apparently last played the song back in 2019. Although Keith Richards told a paper that he would love them to bring the song back at some point. He clearly does not agree with it. Yeah, he's kind of old. So you can imagine that's a generational thing.
I feel weird. I mean, like, okay, you're not allowed to talk about it. Or is it that you're not allowed to profit off of it or make light of it? I mean, like a rock song, I guess, is that what it is?
I think so. I mean, I'm not the expert, but I would think so.
I'm not a big fan of cancel culture. I really am not. I find it very problematic. And at the same time, reading these lyrics, I'm like, there's absolutely no reason to make references to slave ships coming over.
Again, this is the 70s. So, I mean, I bet they thought it was, you know, something profound.
But it wasn't. It's, I don't know. Listen, the band, it's a tired rock band. A lot of people are, still big fans of them. I never got to see them. Clearly, I didn't get to see them in their prime. But, I'm not even sure that I would enjoy seeing the Rolling Stones right now.
Right. Tom Cruise made headlines again while attending game 2 of the National League Division Series between the LA Dodgers and San Francisco Giants last Saturday. Matt, if we can get a picture up of what Tom looked like there. Looking a little
puffy.
looking a little puffy, without a doubt.
Yeah.
Some bloated cheeks. So led people to wonder, you know, what he had done to his face, whether he had put on some weight, whether he had had some plastic surgery, or could it be, you know, is he just aging? I mean, think about, look at, let's take an Alec Baldwin, for example. I mean, he's got that Alec Baldwin face now when you think about it.
Yeah, this looks like he's taking some type of steroid. You know what I mean? Like, this looks like water retention. This does not look like your natural, you know, just aging. He doesn't necessarily look fat. He just looks like, yeah, maybe he does look a little fat. I don't know. It's hard because he has done such a very, made such an effort to maintain his appearance.
Right.
You know, I mean, the whole joke up to this moment was that he doesn't age.
Right. He's a bit vain. A little bit.
He's allowed to be. I mean, do you remember when he was screaming? Remember that when that audio leaked of him screaming the crew at the Mission Impossible movie that he was filming during the pandemic? Because the world really needs. Yeah, because the world really needs another Mission Impossible movie during a pandemic.
Exactly. What else do we have this week, Brian? We've got a few more minutes here. What else can we talk about?
There were a couple things that I wanted to hit. DC Superman. I know we've spent a lot of time talking about Marvel over the past 3 years. I feel like we, you know, have given the impression that we are Marvel fans, that we are part of the Marvel universe, that we are embracing the Marvel
cinematic universe.
Sure. But there's a lot of exciting things going on in DC, in the world of DC, that has got fans all on board, really excited, salivating at the idea that, creative control is going into brave new directions. Ron, what do we got?
So apparently, there is a new DC storyline, Superman, Son of Kal-El, where new Superman, John Kent, is coming out as bisexual in the new edition, number 5. So he is apparently going to be entering into a relationship with another character by the name of Jay Nakamura. So you're just getting inclusiveness across the board there.
Sure.
So we're going to have a bisexual Superman.
Is there a reason that Matt left up the picture of Tom Cruise while you're talking about bisexual men?
I think, I don't know. He's asleep in the corner over there. It's very disappointing.
I thought he was trying to send us a message.
So your thoughts on a bisexual Superman?
Unnecessary, but at the same time, I don't have an issue with it. It could be an interesting storyline. It feels like it's pandering, and I hate pandering, but you know what? I'm willing to sit there and say, when it comes out, I'd like to take a look at it. Maybe when I'm alone in my bedroom with the door closed. And then I will come back with my full review 4 minutes and 22 seconds later.
All right. As you know, we are fans of the wrestling world. So sad to announce that Million Dollar Man Ted DiBiase and his sons have been ordered to pay over $4 million to the state of Mississippi. His son, Brett, had been arrested along with 5 other people back in February of 2020 as part of an embezzlement scheme from the state of Mississippi. He had been hired as a deputy administrator for their Department of Human Services back in 2017, and he apparently funneled money into his father's nonprofit organization, Heart of David Ministry, which received over $2 million from Mississippi in the form of welfare money.
Mm.
So Ted DiBiase Jr. has been ordered to return $3.9 million after the money he got as a motivational speaker for the welfare agency. Ted DiBiase Sr. is asked to repay almost $723,000 that his ministry received. And then his son, Brett, is ordered to pay almost $226,000. So big money for the Million Dollar Man and his family.
It's amazing how the people who are running religious organizations seem to be comfortable stealing money.
It's maybe they don't look at it that way. You know, I think there's I think it's a mental block where they truly feel they're doing some good work.
Mm, interesting. It feels like a lot of rationalization going on in that world.
A lot of them get into the religion too. Like Tully Blanchard also got into the ministry. He did a prison ministry. He stayed at my hotel a couple times when ministering to inmates in the city of Philadelphia. So I did have a
get chance. Out of here.
I had a chance to meet Tully Blanchard a couple many years back.
What was that like?
He was a very, very nice guy. Very humble. Gave me an autographed picture. I probably have it around here somewhere. But yeah, very nice guy. Now, as we know, he is now with AEW, who owner Tony Khan says gloves are off.
Really
some money out there to go up against the WWE, which I know, Brian, you have attended some AEW cards. And I believe we will be attending jointly a card out in Long Island in December. Yes. So I think we've teased this a bit, but I think we can officially make the announcement here this evening that the Ron and Brian podcast is now officially All Elite. We are kicking WWE to the curb. It is all AEW all the time moving forward.
Yes, it's listen, I think the signs were there. First off, we need to update that photo.
Yeah,
you appear to be dramatically heavier. I still look amazing, it's about time. I mean, you know, it took a little while for the contracts to be signed. There's a lot of clauses in there about, behavior, what was allowable.
Yep.
What was not. I was required to watch all three seasons of Dark Side of the Ring so that I could understand what we were getting involved in. But we are hashtag All Elite.
All right. Very nice. Anything else for us to cover this week?
Can we hype the comedy show and then can we hype our Patreon?
All right. So once again, Dave Hill appearing live in my backyard this upcoming Friday night, the 22nd, doors at 7, show at 8. Still tickets available, just a few. So reach out to us if you would like to show up. And as Brian said, we obviously have our After Dark coming up for fans of the Patreon. So go to ronandbrianpodcast.com, upper right-hand side. You click on it. You put your money down to become a patron. You get a bunch of swag that's available to you, from coffee mugs to sweatshirts to all sorts of good stuff. But more importantly, you can get access to After Dark, which starts in a mere 18 minutes from now at the bottom of the hour, where we will have our kink quiz. We will see which of the two of us is kinkier, and I know who my vote is on, but that's just me.
All I ask of you, Ron, is to answer honestly.
Always. Since it's behind the paywall,
honestly,
you get
because
total
honesty. I answered honestly. I answered honestly to all of them. I was not surprised with the results.
All right. Sounds good. Well, we are going to roll out and close up this edition of the Ron and Brian podcast, episode 177, and get ready for After Dark. Brian, is there anything additional you would like this week?
No. I love you. Look forward to seeing you this weekend.
All right, my friend. Looking forward to it, too. Thank you all for joining us. For our Patreon folks, we will see you in a few minutes. For everyone else, we will catch you next week.
Thank you for joining us on the Ron and Brian podcast. We're live each week on YouTube, Facebook, and Twitch. You can find prior episodes, links to our social media, and everything else Ron and Brian at ronandbrianpodcast.com. See you again next week.